Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:34 Central African time. A mashallah, beautiful morning with you on Consciously Connected. And that time of the morning when we join by one of the firebrands of radio. He is a counselor that is in the hearts of everyone. And they call him, Counselor Ahmad Parak. Counselor Ahmad Parak. Have you, look at that, C-A-P, cap. If you really want to put a cap on your head and you want someone that's simply the best, Counselor Ahmad Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners on such a beautiful, shining Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another day, Shafat.
I tell you, Ahmad, Allah has blessed us with another day. Now, you know what? I don't know. Do you feel the pressure when millions and millions of people across the globe, they know who's Counselor Ahmad Parak, you know, through the barakah of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and other platforms. Everyone, they know Ahmad Parak is coming on Straight Talk. Tell me how you feel, Ahmad. You know, are you excited? You feel the enthusiasm every Sunday. You know what? Straight Talk time. Let's go and give it to them.
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, you know, whenever I come on this show on a Sunday morning, alhamdulillah, then we get a feedback during the course of the week. We get people from UK, from Australia, mainly Australia, Canada, New Zealand. So all our people, whoever is there, I've got some friends in the US now too. They also say, you know, we heard you at least you are like doing something and reviving the city, reviving this country, making sure it doesn't go down to the wire, and making sure that this country survives, and it's a country that has got all the minerals, that got everything in it, and why it is in this state at this moment. So, you know, people are there, so they are there to assist us financially from overseas to say, you know what, we at least got our assets are in this country has been protected because we got good, capable of people who are fighting for our cause here, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, said the Ahmad. And also, you find a lot of rains coming through, and I notice messages coming through. Don't go to Henry Road, don't go to that road, don't go near the cement factory, it's fully flooded and so forth. A lot of rains coming through, Newcastle flooded and Ladysmith flooding. And locally, we're getting lots of rains coming through. But as you say, the manholes, the drains are still all clogged up. Talk to about this disaster here. And we have a disaster management system in Itikweni. And, you know, many of our, I think Hussein Mullah too also was part of it. I wonder if he's still in that committee. Talk to me about our, disaster management. Are they still fully functional, Ahmad?
Shafat, the disaster management is fully functional. They have got a team, is being headed by the Itikweni municipality, and they have got a team together. And on the floods, when we had the floods, they were relatively good in putting something together. But, you know, the time span in putting something together, that was the problem. In fact, you see, the thing is this, storm and hail and all the disaster comes through. It doesn't give you no time, it doesn't give you time, date or anything like that. When it comes, it just comes. So you need to brief yourself on a month-to-month, have a workshop on a month-to-month, week-to-week. Say, if this is going to happen, where do we stand? What do we have at our disposal? How many of our ambulances are functioning? How many of our fire department is functioning, what is happening, whether we'll be able to get the funding. All these things supposed to have been put in place well in advance. But in our case, we don't do that. When the floods came, we were caught with our pants down and nothing, you know. By the time we could get up, the bridges were down, we couldn't do nothing. Some of the roads we couldn't even drive. I had to go with a helicopter with the deputy city mayor and assess what we could do for the community. And in fact, alhamdulillah, you know, our Muslim community, I must say that, you know, when it comes to things like that, we mobilized in few hours and we were up and running. NMJ was was put into a mini warehouse. Things were starting to flow from there, and it started to move all over the province. And wherever they needed our assistance, we were there. We were giving blankets. We were giving mattresses. We were giving food. Alindar came on board, water. You know, things were just happening so fast. And this is how we do. On the looting time, we couldn't get bread here in KZN. And then overnight, we used to get like 8 to 10 horse and trailers coming down to NMJ to distribute bread. So this is the way things are supposed to happen. And I think the city is missing the plot, and the government is also missing the plot. We're doing everything, and we're screaming at government level to put things right. You know, they got their own system, and it's not going to change for a long time. And we only can do our best. We're only waiting for, inshallah, for the 2024 election. When we can uproot them and bring a new government in place and start making things happen for this, for the people and the community of the city and in this country, Shafa.
Alhamdulillah, well said there, and I know you were in the forefront there. Hey, I know you really did a lot of hard work, and you keep on doing it. Got a message from Pastor Chetty. Says, good morning. I listen to the station, and I like also the head of the station, Mr. AK, whom I listen to every morning. I'd like to know from Mr. Parag there, the counselor. I also know he was also part of a burial society. I know that the Islamic faith doesn't allow coffins or burial caskets. Instead, what are they using, Mr. Parag? Good question from Pastor Chetty for you, Ahmed. He wants to know, he knows the Muslims don't use coffins or burial casket. Instead, what are they using? Talk to him, Ahmed.
Pastor Chetty, good morning to you. And, you know, I've known you. I think you came to one of our meetings when I was the head of the Islamic Burial Council. Yes, Pastor, you know, the easiest and the best and the cheapest funeral that we give to our community, we do not use the casket. We don't use the box, which a lot of people, they call it in the Zulu, this thing, they call it a box. They need this thing, a coffin to be put in the ground. We don't use that. We use three sheets, and it's calico sheets, and it's the cheapest and the best way of burying. And in Islam, we have got a policy, and if you can afford a burial, you must pay. And if you cannot afford, we give you absolutely free of charge from A to Z. And if you look at it, compared to any other religion or anything, each burial, you know, in especially among the Zulus, Khoisans, and all the other, a burial can cost you from 5,000 rand to up to 200,000, and in some cases, it goes over a million, you know, depending on what you want. So, you know, in our religion and in our culture, it is the cheapest and the best way of burying the loved ones, with three sheets, and that's it.
Yeah, Pastor is rocking me with the questions, yeah? Pastor, second question, he says, Mr. Parukh, why? Why must a person be buried as soon as possible? Because we in the Christian church, we wait for our loved ones to come, and you are rushing it. Why do you rush your burials? How do you respond to Pastor again, Ahmed?
Our religion, as well as it's very important, and our Quran makes it, you need to hasten towards the cemetery very quick as possible. If you got somebody at a marriageable age, getting married quick as possible, get them settled quick as possible, so then you don't have adultery in the community or anything like that. That's one of the other points. Very quick as possible, so that you don't have the grieving for the family. We don't keep overnight. Fortunately, we have also got facilities. We can bury 10:30, 11:30 at night, and that is it. So when a person is passed on, we bury quick as possible. That is one of the rules of our this thing. Hasten, it says we hasten towards the cemetery quick as possible, and that is our rules of the Quran. Also makes it bury the deceased quick as possible. It's very, very traumatized to keep the deceased overnight and wait for 2-3 days, wait for the family to come, and then the family is more traumatized this way. And our mourning period is only 3 days as well.
Pastor, another question. He says, why do you wash the body? After all, the body is going to go into the sand and it's going to decay and rot. Why is it washed? Ahmad?
We bathe the body, or we shroud the body, and it has to go to the mosque, and where we do the prayer for the deceased, and then we take it to the cemetery. This is one of the rules. That's how, you know, you have to be clean from when you were born. They also do the same thing, clean you up and everything else. And when you're leaving this world, we also send you properly clean with a new shroud, everything, and then we bury you.
One more question there, Pastor Hazia. He says, why don't you Muslims cremate? Land is getting shorter and shorter, and we're running out of grave space. How do you respond to Pastor Chetty there?
One of our rules is we do not cremate. That is, you know, burning of the body is forbidden in Islam, and that is it. So therefore, we do not cremate the body. Although, in terms of space, we recycle, so we do not have a problem. And we have got a lot of private graves. So in the period of 5 years, we can recycle. So when it comes to graves, with the help of God, we have got enough cemetery sites.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Chetty, for that. And Ahmad, hey, 100 out of 100 for you. Yeah, you can see your experience has come to the fore. And Jazakallah khair for that. Having another message coming through here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat. Please discuss with our beloved brother, Councillor Ahmad Parak, the happenings in Turkey. It is so sad. When will they give up looking for bodies? Will it be after a few months, or will they make a decision by next week? Ahmad, that's a very powerful question. It's sad indeed, because the people are, you know, they're digging up rubbles and finding bodies and so forth. When do they call it quits, Ahmad?
Shafat, that area must be called a disaster area. Now, when it comes to disaster, every government has got its own policies in terms of when they're going to remove the looking of the finding the bodies from the rubbles. Turkey has got its own policies, and in fact they would have to look at it. At the moment, it's just sitting on under 30,000 deceased at the moment. I'm very, very curious to also know how are they coping in terms of the burying day in Turkey. And I've been told last night, I've been finding out, and they said they're using TLB and they're digging graves one next to another. They have got enough sites there, and then they do like how we do in South Africa. We bury just like us, yeah, and then they're moving very, very fast in terms of that is concerned. But there's still a lot of bodies in the rubble there at the moment. I think they have got international, every country is assisting them. And from here in South Africa, we have sent our elite dog unit. And in fact, Shafad, when it comes to the dog unit, I've got vast experience in it. When we had one or two drowning in the city here, especially in Hazelmere, we were looking for the last 15, 18 hours. We couldn't find. Eventually, I managed to get the dog unit from Ladysmith. And within 10 minutes, we found the body. So our dogs are well trained in terms of high seas as well as rivers, as well as rumbles and all that. They will pick it up very, very quickly. And they have been flown up from South Africa to Turkey, and they're assisting the Giver of the Givers, and the team are doing a splendid job there in Turkey at the moment. And they're getting the support from the international community as well, Shafat.
You know, it's like you read my mind there, because I was just about to ask you about sniffer dogs, and also for narcotics, they're using these dogs. And, you know, a very important thing. Maybe, you know, you can give us a graphic description if there's a drowning and this dog has to go and, you know, find the body or retrieve the body. Give us a graphic description. That dog, will it jump into the water? But I thought when it gets into the water, it loses the SES senses. It can't smell anymore. Ahmad, talk to us.
No, what happened is, Shafat, you know, with the 3-4 experience I had, and I was fortunate enough, because I'm connected with the South African police Department and the rescue and search SAPS. And I said to one of the guys, you know, that I want to come, I want to see this thing exactly how it's been done. So in this case here at Hazelmere, we searched with lights and everything over the night, and nothing we could do. The search and rescue, where they said, you know what, the only thing is left easy is to get our dog unit. And there is, at the moment, it's just, at the moment, it's all over. There was another dam that was went into two parts in the other side of Northern Natal. They were using those sniffer dogs there. Somehow the other would contact and bring whatever we could do. We managed to get that dog, and it arrived here around about just after 11 on that Monday. The drowning happened on a Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. The whole night we searched, we couldn't do anything. What they come is with the search and rescue unit comes with the SAPS, comes with the rubber duck. You go into the rubber duck. The two officers go in with the rubber duck. The dog is put into the rubber duck, and the dog puts his head down, and it goes, and it'll show you the way where you need to move. And while you are moving, and when it barks once or twice, then you must know you need to stop here. So, but it was so precise. It was unbelievable. And I said to myself, you know, Allah has made an animal with such a vast brain to he couldn't do anything, but yet an animal could just tell us exactly. The dog don't go into the water, and he stood in the rubber duck in the boat, that is, and the guys just went down and they picked the body and they brought it up, Shafat. It was amazing. It is, you know, something out of this world. When a dog can tell you exactly, it just barked 1, 2, 3 times, and the guy went down and the body was up.
Now, what a brilliant story. Jazakallah khair for sharing that with us, Ahmed. You know, the experience you have, and this is why Allah has got you on this platform, for you to document yourself as, you know, someone that has served the Ummah with a distinction. And beautiful, I can, you know, every word you told me there, Ahmed, I could visualize that, you know, that rubber duck and the dog there, and the two dog handlers going with it, and it's going there, and suddenly it barks, you know, when it's like, woof, woof, and you know, there's it, it's going to happen. And the yaqeen is there. And then Ahmed says, Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is given this animal a smelling sense like none other. So that and there, they get to know, there's it, if the body is there, and they take it out. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairah for sharing that with us, Ahmed. As I see lots of questions coming for you this morning. And this one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, Ahmed Parak. Great show indeed. I want to know from Ahmed Parak, how is the flood levels and the water levels affecting the Qabrs and the Qabristan? Are we having difficulties, or is it smooth sailing digging up graves? Another good question there, Ahmad.
Shafat, in the last flood too, alhamdulillah, you know, sometimes when it comes to a masjid, madrasa, ulum and all that, you find it is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every household near the masjid or any other property is flooded and everything. And sometimes you'll find there is not a drop of water that went into the masjid ulum or anything like that. It's a similar thing that happened to our in our cemeteries too. And cemetery is vast. Fortunately, it can take the water, and water seeps into the ground very, very quickly. So we didn't have, in the last 10 years or something, anything major that the cemetery was flooded or anything like that. We didn't have anything. But you know what? We never know, in especially in cemetery, there's always trenches and everything also built so that the water can flow. But so far, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we didn't have anything like that so far.
Now, Ahmed, you know, generally those graves are dug. There's extra graves, 2 or 3 extra graves always there. What happens during a heavy torrential downpour that floods and it collapses?
Shafat, actually, you see, depending on if you take the soft sand, like if you take Brook Street or Mobeni Heights or anything, you dig a grave and you keep it, and you get a very heavy storm, the water level, you know, obviously that grave will be filled up. And somehow the water, if the rain stops, it'll start seeping water seeps into ground all over the shore. It'll go into all the other graves as well. But what happens is later on, some of these graves will actually, you know, the nearby graves will start collapsing. So we just fill them. In a case now, you might say also, what happened? We got a mayat and there's a grave, ready grave there, and we need to bury quick as possible. So we take that water out and we put sawdust underneath and we bury the deceased quick as possible. And that's how we do it. So any one time, very, very hard soil, there will be 2-3 graves ready. But if it's very, very soft, then it takes us just under between hour and a half to dig a grave. It's not with two boys you can dig a grave in no time.
Looking at a message here, and it says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Bhai. My son just finished a matric, and I want him to get driver's license so he can become a hearse driver. How much you pay, Ahmed Bhai?" Ahmed.
I don't know. I didn't follow the question, because how much you pay for what becomes
all
a
right.
driver?
Okay, I'll paraphrase that. A brother says that his son just passed matric and he's going to send him to get his driver's license, and he wants him to become a hearse driver. He wants to know how much you pay for hearse drivers.
No, Chafat, all our society members, burial organization members, they work fi sabilillah. They don't get paid from anyone. In fact, I was the chairman of Islamic Burial Council for 25 years. I didn't get 1 cent payment or anything, and I used to spend odd hours doing this work. Everything fi sabilillah, and that is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody gets paid. He needs, if the brother gets his license, try and find him, get a job somewhere and join a burial organization and start working after hours, you know, or maybe twice a week from certain time to certain time. When there's a call, he can drive the hearse. That week he will be able to assist him. But as far as getting payment to drive, to become a hearse driver, no, there's not possible, Shabbat.
You know, Ahmed, I mean, I empathize with that brother there. I mean, I know what he may be out of desperation. He sent that message to us. But, you know, should we, you know, Allah's given us maybe a position of power or a position of influence, that we should be on the lookout for our youth, you know, as soon as they finish matric, and some of them cannot afford universities, and the parents are, you know, due to all these unforeseen circumstances, having a difficult time. You know, we have our different dawah organizations, but a man like you, you know, you can make, like, you make things happen just like that, Ahmed. What's your thoughts? Maybe the brother is looking at you in that light, because, you know, whether you like it or not, you make things happen, Ahmed.
Shafat, what we can do for that brother is firstly, let him go and get his license. Once he's got his license, then we'll try and place him you know, there's a lot of organization, and maybe, you know, in an organization where you do driving job, like, you know, there's a lot of our organization. May, you know, if you take my paramedics, you know, the NMJ Rescue 786, maybe in the long term we'll be getting a vehicle to do all the old age home. We need to give them pamphlets, we need to give them updating them and things like that. He might be able to do, you know, the leg work, the driving side of it, and do the delivery side of it. Maybe that might be an idea. But for now, yes, you're right there. At the moment, lots of our community members and families, you know, after COVID, they have not recovered again. There is no work. And they're really suffering there. Some of them cannot go to university, cannot go to colleges. And these things are really, really tough at the moment. So the best thing is, first thing, get your license. Once you got your license, at least you know any way you apply. The first question, Bella, have you got a driver's license? So if you've got that, and then from there we'll take the next step.
Javad, the issue in Pakistan, in fact, in Punjab, and, you know, I don't think this, you know, the Pakistani government need to put his act together to eliminate all these issues that they are facing with. And in fact, there's a huge split in the government there. So, you know, what is going to happen in the next year is the massive movement that is going to be taking place in Pakistan. Apparently, I heard recently, and they might topple the government, and things are happening in Pakistan. So that's one of the issues. And Liverpool and UK talking about the EU, I think they need to strengthen the especially with the neighbors and all that, especially with Brazil and all that. They have a major problem there. And in fact, recently, when I was in the UK, and in fact, you know, when I was driving with the taxi as well, and some of the roads, what we got here and what is potholes and all, they have also got it there, Safar. So I think they are also going through a very, very lean time in terms of what is happening in South Africa, and I think they're getting it much severe than us here. And that's when the new prime minister came into power and everything. And I don't think in the long term this new prime minister is going to last very long there, because the pressure is really, really, really on him and to deliver. And I'm not sure we'll be able to deliver in the UK. So things are really hotting up, and there's nothing much in the 3 minute news, as you say. There's not much to say this morning, Shabbat.
Yeah, Suleiman, you heard what Ahmad Tariq said. Okay, we leave it there. Next time you'll give us our longer news, inshallah. Well, you know, also when you're looking around what's happening here in our part of the world, more floods coming in, as you said, you know, the water levels are up and down, up and down. How long will it take the municipality to clear up all these, clogged drain pipes, Ahmad?
Shabbat, when it comes to all the manholes, especially the raw sewer as well as the drainage, if we're going to say it'll finish in a year, we're going to lie to ourselves. It's not going to, because we even, you know, some places we even have not started. And I'm, you know, if what happened in Newcastle and Dundee, the flood like that, if you had to hit us here in Devon, we're in massive trouble here, because all the drains will pop up, and they will. That most of our drains actually is clogged at the moment. So there's nothing running because it has not been maintained over the years. Now, what happened? Sand, dust, and, you know, people, you get sometimes bottles into our draining system. Then you get, especially in the raw sewer, it gets clogged very heavily in terms of because of non-service. And these pipes are actually asbestos pipes. And asbestos over the years, what happens is it gets brittle, and if you have cracks in them, and once stepping through that crack, that one crack, and water keeps seeping into that crack, it gets bigger, bigger, and eventually that pipe actually is broken in the system. So when it breaks into the system, that plate, that's where the crack is, it gets blocked, and that's where the movement of that water is not moving anymore. So that's where our biggest problem is. It'll take our city a long, long time to get it sorted out, because they need a fully fledged team, maybe with about 200 staff starting and having a fully cast team, only looking after this setup, the raw sewer and the stormwater drainage. If you can get that right, I think we will be able to be in a much better position to get our city up and running. But in the long term, those pipes, you have to dig everyone up. The whole of Spingo Beach has to be dug up and put new pipes. That's the only way. Last year they did in Karwas Town, they put new pipes there. That was the only way. This is the only system can be used, and there's no other way out of this.
Yeah, Ahmad, and it seems like all got the problem of sewage. Everyone you talk to, they got, hey, you know, I can smell that. It's water going here, and all this is happening. And it's sad indeed, because I think 5 or 6 years ago, in our area, I think Spingo Beach, they put brand new pipes all over. They dug the roads and this and that. So in other words, the job that was done was below standard, Ahmad.
Shafan, you know what we're doing is at the moment, we're giving it to subcontractors. Now, subcontractors, you had to use certain specification of pipes, certain time you had to finish it and everything. Now, what happened? Subcontractors, 9 out of 10, they do subcontract work. So, in other words, they instead of using the right pipe, A grade, they might use a B grade pipe. So that's where our problem comes to. There's no check system from the city, from the department to say, you know what, that subcontractor is doing 10 kilometers. We need to check before you put the sand, making sure the joints are right, the engineer is there, things are happening, the councillor of that area, making sure that it won't have this ripple effect going down the line. So all these things are not taking place. That's where our biggest problem is. And everything, instead of previously, we used to have in-house, the council used to have its own team, everything that we were servicing. Today, everything is outsourced because that's where they make money. Say that the outsourced contract is 1.2 million, that same contract has gone to 1.8 million or 2.2, and you have to pay 3-4 people down the line to get that contract. So, you know, that's the reason we don't have money in our kitty anymore, because we're paying a premium price for something just for the guy to get the job.
Yeah, sad indeed. Ahmed, also looking at this message, he says, Assalamu alaikum, brother Ahmed Parak, Shafat Ahmed Khan and the Marcus team. I'd like to tell you, Ahmed Parak, that lots of our people love this place called Florida Road and all of the eat-outs are there and a lot of halal restaurants that we frequent generally after Isha Salah. But the killing of a popular personality there on Friday has sent shivers down our spines. How safe are we even going out to eat? Just an innocent drive out. We can't even do that. Perhaps Becky Kale should get rid of, and we need to have a law enforcement, perhaps bring a very strong boor force to run this type of operation that will send fear into the minds of all these assassins. How do you respond to that message there, Ahmed?
So that question is regarding AKA, which happened on Friday, and the video is going around. Yes, we had a look at. I had a look at it last night as well. They in especially Florida Road, they got a RYP. That RYP is in charge of security. They do the cleaning up of the area and everything else. In far as this matter is concerned, there was some major dispute in whatever it is. I believe I was reading this morning, there's a contractor who was doing branded clothing for AKA, and something has went somewhere. Now, when a person comes to a restaurant and he dress up neatly, and you don't know who's there in the zoo, end of the day, so this is, you know, it's one of the rare ones that has taken place there, because this thing was, and furthermore, I think he made the biggest mistake in putting it into social media. That way he's having supper and all that. You don't do that. You know the heat is on him. He has security, and his security, I don't think they could do anything, because these guys were well geared. They came for the juggler, and that's what they did. So it is one of the, you know, it is one of a rare one in Florida Road, because they've got their own security, they've got their own team there, and that area is well barricaded in terms of security and all is concerned. But you get a rare one, they come out and just do the job and they're gone. And this is what actually happened here, Shubha.
You know, you look at our political scenarios and you find that councillors now are getting security, the government ministers are getting security, and they're spending a lot of money on security. Even police station, I mean, they got security companies protecting police stations. What type of signal is this, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, when you know, in anything, in any organization, or you build a house, if your foundation, you don't put the right metal, right concrete, you know, you need to make sure that concrete, you follow the plan properly, you follow the engineer's report, you follow the architect's report. If your foundation is 100%, you can never, and then your brickwork goes up, you're not going to have any problem or anything. Yeah, we have a problem from the head. The Minister of Police, he hasn't got a clue of running the services. Previously, we could run. We, as you said, we need now police station is have to get an outside company to look after the gates and all that. Previously, you know, nobody would go near a police station. today you have to guard your own police station. Where you saw that in anywhere else, Shafat? This is the problem, because we don't have a proper system. The system, now he brought in 2,000 new foot policemen for the ground to assist the community. How is that going to help when every single police station is short of manpower? He cannot do that because he needs like 50,000 policemen to fill in all the posts that all the police station is required. And some of the policemen you'll find, you must see how big they are. Now, end of the day, all these things need to take into account. Now, how are you going to do service? Thirdly, the vehicles, they got 9 out of 10, that vehicle is out of order. If they got 10 vehicles, you'll find only 4 is working, 6 is parked off. This is the problem. They are not looking into the bigger picture, how we can get our service up and running in terms of manpower, the vehicles, you get the station up to mark. When you get everything in place, then you can have a proper police department who can do the job for you, Shafat.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I'd like to remain anonymous and at the outset, a maaf for my contribution. I must tell you, Ahmed, that the Pakistani, Indian, Bangladeshi and Nigerian mafia have captured KZN, have captured Durban CBD. Just recently, we can see the amount of drug laboratories that are coming out. And I know there's many, many more run by these CD characters. Also, look at the license officers. These are all captured by the same cartel where they're giving driver's license to all these fellas that are from the subcontinent. I know they don't have the proper license, but they have bought licenses and driving around like gringos. Please, Ahmed, get them all arrested. I am cut for. Ahmed, your response.
Shafat, at the moment, the government is looking at especially the immigration law. And because of the 1994, because we had a very good relationship with all our neighbors and everything else, and when the ANC was underground, and these are the countries, actually, you take most of these countries, Egypt and all these countries were actually harboring all our underground soldiers and everything else because we were in the apartheid days. Now the government is saying, these guys assisted us, so we cannot tell them you can't come here in our country and trade or whatever. Now what is happening is, yeah, because of our system, the home affairs system, the visa system, anywhere else you're going, any other country, the systems are watertight. You apply for a visa, you can come from the border, you can go tomorrow, and the next day you can come back into the country. And if you kill somebody, you go away, nobody will even know that docket, you have to be closed. So this is the problem that we got, is our system at home affairs is so vague. The system is not in place in terms of if a guy, you go to Saudi Arabia or any other country, when your visa expired, they penalize you and then you have to leave the country. Yeah, your visa expired, you stay for another 5 years till nobody asks you about it. That is the problem. So that is one area they need to tighten it, and that's where we're looking. We are saying, Action SA is making it very, very clear, and this is one of our manifesto for 2024. We're not saying we don't want the foreigners in this country. We are saying if you are a foreigner, like anywhere else in the world, get legalized, meaning making sure you got a work permit. If your work permit expires, you have to go back. You need to go back and regularize the system so you're giving a fair chance to our locals as well. Now, all these foreigners are coming. They're all business people. They're all over in the heart of the location. They don't even fight to get killed. How many of them got killed? We send the bodies back to Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever we send them. They don't fight. They are here to only one thing. They don't pay any rates and tax. Whatever they earn, all that money is going back to their homelands. The only thing they're paying is they only buy food here and their accommodation. Everything else is like, where you find somebody coming here and making money. And in other words, indirectly he's looting our money from this country and is going to their country, and we are suffering here today. This is the problem, and this is our cry. And everybody else is doing the same thing. It's not, the system is so weak that is made it easier for them, Shofar.
Look at this message. It says, Ahmad Parak, assalamu alaikum. I really enjoy the show, and Straight Talk is my favorite on all Islamic media. You all are simply the best. And jazakallah khair for that. He said, Ahmad, I came back from London a few months ago, bought myself a nice place in Morningside. And just last week, they were killing, the bodies were all over. And I'm now regretting coming here. I want to go back as soon as possible to the bad weather in London. Better there than here. Please, Ahmad, when will all this come right? I feel that even lots of foreigners are killing each other in this country out of turf war and dumping bodies in the suburbs and residential areas. How do you respond to this, brother here, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, the brother came from the UK. UK is happening the same thing too. There's killing in UK. You'll have killing all over the world. So end of the day, America is even worse than what we got at the moment. So the thing is this, there is turf war. Yes, we know. There's a turf war between the Cape Townians and the KZN mafias here. There's a turf war in various things, in business, in everything. Then you got the taxi mafias. So that is another issue too. Now, all these things is compounded to one thing, is that what happens here is, the thing is this, what people come here, do their thing, and they're going away. That's number one. That's one area the South African Police Department have not got covered. Now, and these people that are doing the killings and all are not local people mainly, because if you look at the media, you look at the docket being opened, most of them are these issues that are taking are normal. They're not the normal South African. They are here from various countries, and they're doing it. If they do something in Grey Street, they'll bring it and dump the body in Buriya. This is what happens here, Shafar.
Yeah, sad indeed. I'm going to read a paragraph here from the daily newspaper this morning. It says, a senior provincial government official has laid the blame for the recent Durban sewage crisis at the front door of the Itikweni municipality, alleging that senior city officials were guilty of a consistent and blatant failure to halt the pollution of local rivers and oceans even before the April 22 floods. A lot of truth in that, Ahmad.
That is very true, Shafad. On the 27th of February this month, we will be at the High Court again, where we brought an urgent application to the city, to the minister, to the city manager, the mayor, and the speaker of the council. We want answers that what, in terms of the legislation, what have they done? They knew very, very well what happened to us in December. We lost billions of rands in terms of revenue from the tourism industry. A lot of hotels were actually, especially all over, they were discounting rates for rooms and everything in December, because there was no people, nobody was coming to our shores here because of the raw sewage. So we have taken action. SIA has taken this matter to court. This matter is set down. It's for the 27th. We're going to hear what they are going to say, or they might remand that case. But we're not going to leave them. We're going full hog, and we want answers. And we want a judgment on this year, so we can bring the city down to its knees to tell them, your guys need to be out. Let somebody competent come and run the city and make things happen for the city.
Mustafa says, assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Paraka, you are my man, and you know what I mean by that. Okay. He says, Ahmad, an illegal dump was recently cleared in Sagittarius Street in Chatsworth. Illegal dumping is a serious challenge as it affects the environment and all that. And I'm sad to say that even Muslims are dumping. We, as the followers of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should not be dumping. We should be examples. And now people are photographing us and saying that slummo did it. Please, Ahmad, tell the slummos not to behave like they're living in a slum. Ahmad, what do you tell Mustafa?
Shafat, Mustafa must firstly take a photograph of who those people are dumping there, number one. Take the registration, do anything. Metropolis will come and give them 5,000 rand fine. And there's no leeway for that. And in fact, we have already started in the city, and they, you know, in Gray Street, West Street, all over, whoever is putting illegal dumping in most of the areas. You get a photograph, you get the registration, you get the person, they will find the person, the 5,000 rand fine. And otherwise, you don't pay, you go to court. And that is the only way they have to learn that if you're dead, the DSW come and pick up on Monday, your dirt, and say you didn't take your dirt out on Monday. You don't go and take out your dirt on Tuesday and leave it for the whole week till next week, Monday, and then the dogs come and all. Leave it in your own yard and then take it out on Monday morning. It is your duty to take it out on that day, not any other day. People are taking their bin bags and everything, they leave it on the road. They know fully well they turn it on Monday, or some areas turn it on Wednesday. Like if you take like Musgrave is on a Monday. We only take it out on a Monday. And if anybody else take it out any other day, unless it's the green bags where you got your grass or whatever it is, you leave it out there because there's certain days they come and just pick those bags up only. But any other, your refuse bags must only come out on that specific day. Now, what happens? You leave it outside, the dogs come and open it up. The whole street is littered, and then you say, you know what? You know, our council is not doing anything about it. Yet the people, they know fully well. How can you leave the bin bags right in front of your own doorstep, waiting for the municipal vehicle coming on Monday when you put it on Wednesday? Now, you have to go and clean that mess. Now, you'll say, you know what? Council is not doing anything about it. It's not the council's issue. It's your issue. You take it out on that day.
Well, another message here says, Ahmad Parak, your ex-town, you know what I mean, your ex-town, we have a lot of rubble, building dirt and building rubble being dumped over the sea banks right near the ocean. We know who these people are, and they are shameless. What shall we do, Ahmad? Even the municipality, if they go and check up those rubbles, there's no way it's coming from. A lot of illegal dumping of building materials in the Spingo Beach area. Please, Ahmad, come and do something. No one does anything in this place. It's becoming a free-for-all. Ahmad, your reaction?
Firstly, my hometown, if that brother is referring to, telling number one, get hold of the Ward 90, the councillor there, bring him on site, number one, and write a letter to the city manager or write a letter to me, to Councillor Ahmad Parak, stating and give us pictures and everything. And then I will escalate this matter, and I will bring the Ward 90 councillor, because he's not doing his job. He's been elected by the community there to do his work. He's supposed to make sure that happens. And if he can't make it happen, then obviously the people in Spingo, Ward 90, and where how he got elected, he must be removed. Bring somebody who will be able to give us service delivery. That's more important than anything else. So take the pictures, write to council. You can send it through to me, and he can get my number from you, or I can give him my number. Tell him to write to us, and then we will take it up, and then I'll follow it up with the city manager as well. This is a problem we face with. Nothing happening. We need answers. That's what we will do.
Oh, lovely, Ahmad. You can give your number. Give it now, Ahmad.
My number is 082-966-6674. Councillor Ahmad Parak, 082-966-6674.
I tell you, you got the number for over 50 years, Ahmad. Hey, I know it like just like that. I'll call Ahmad, and then you say, what's the number? I just know it like that. Well, we noticed, Ahmad, there's another question here for you. Brother Ahmad Parak, there was a person arrested in Westville for possessing 4 stolen vehicles and a lot of firearms. I hope it's not our people. Ahmad, hey. They want to know a lot of stories from you. Hey, we don't have Panchayat Platter here, but Ahmad, how do you answer that?
Shabbat, that matter is sub judice at the moment. There's a massive investigation on that day. We cannot discuss too much on air regarding that matter there, because that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's more arrests is going to happen in the next week or so. There's, now they have found where the link is, and in fact, this thing is going to be a major, major breakthrough for the South African police. If they follow the, all the leads and get all the other vehicles that were stolen, and if some of these vehicles are from our own people, from all our elite areas that were stored away there. And this matter is sub judice. We cannot mention names or anything like that on air. And so let the police do his job here first.
I tell you, Amal, what a morning with you. Lovely, wholesome, lot of people interacting. And, you know, we have to thank the people for, you know, really keeping us on our toes and keeping us buoyant, Amal.
They're keeping us right on the top of the, you know, the shooting question. Pastor was shooting the questions regarding why do we bury in time this? Or, you know, this is where we are here to serve the community, only for the pleasure of Allah. And whatever we can assist the community, that is our job. And this is what we will do, Shafa.
Now, one more thing, Ahmad. You just can't bring anyone on the radio. You just can't bring anyone that's green. Like, you know, a man with your hikmah, you've been, you sit with the ulama, and you got your product knowledge. I mean, Pastor Chetty asked some very relevant questions, and, you know, you needed to answer them. And each question you answered like, you know what, a real five-star, Ahmad. And I mean it. And I feel so confident having a team member like you on, you know, Marcus Sahaba.
Shabab, this all comes from the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah gives somebody you know, to assist the community, he chooses his friend. You know, I'll give you one scenario. A brother was looking for a job to become a hearse driver. Everybody can't do the work of dafan, kafan and all that. Because when they come, hey, everybody in the beginning, hey, Josh, I want to join them. I want to join them. I want to pick up body here and there. When they go and pick up body, when they go to the morgue and pick up one body, after that, you don't smell him. You don't want he. What happened? Why you didn't come? No. This is not made for me. I can't get up 1 o'clock in the morning and go and go up the stairs, bring that auntie down. You know how heavy that auntie was. You know, this is what happens. When they come to know, then they say, no, this is not for me.
Alhamdulillah, Allah keep you, Allah bless you, and Jazakallah khair. Your parting words this morning, Ahmad?
Shafat, we must not lose hope in the city. Do not see what happened in Turkey, see what happened in Dundee, in Newcastle. This is all through the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Don't lose hope or anything. This is test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will just carry on, make dua. Allah make it easy for us, make it easy for the brothers and sisters. You know, how many children are still under the rubbles? We're eating, sleeping nicely, and look at what is happening outside there. In a few seconds, Shafat, few seconds, maybe less than 2 minutes, or a whole 8-10-story building comes down to his ground. This is just the beginning of Allah's test to say, you know what, you can be the best planner in the world. I plan what I want to do.
Well said, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.